You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Another summer. Sound of the funky drummer. Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got soul. Hey, listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing. Hey, giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Hey, our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 47. I am your host, Buck. And if you're not familiar with TRC, that stands for The Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writings and podcasts at therubberchickensblog.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Rubber Chickens. That's R-U-B-R Chickens. I'm joined tonight, as always, by T-Bone, but we're giving the G-Man the night off. He's been quite busy lately. So filling in is a young lady you're all familiar with, I'm sure. She goes by B Click Clack on Twitter, as well as Team Garcia. And she's on Facebook and she's on Instagram. Brandy, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. Long time no podcast.
Yeah, it's been a while. So, you know, you sent something. I think that was podcast number 17 you were on. So there have been 30 podcasts in between since you were on last. So we're not going to let that happen again.
All good. Right. And, you know, I looked it up and mysteriously 17 was the only one that was missing in all of the old podcasts from your old site.
The only one that was missing.
Yeah, but that we'll talk about that offline.
Very, very curious. Very curious.
It is curious.
Well, you know, something else that you're not going to be happy with. You were actually not our first choice tonight for to fill in.
But I was your first guest ever.
So. You were our first guest ever, but we actually had Paula Deen lined up to join us tonight.
Oh, I don't know who's more ratchet, me or her.
Yeah, but she's in a little hot water right now, so she bailed on us. But so, you know, let's get a
hot news take from Brandy about the Zimmerman trial.
Oh, Lord. You're only saying that because you see my tweets.
I think we know what side of the fence, what side of the gated community she falls on.
I'm with you, ma'am. I am totally with you.
I mean, I might oversimplify things, but the big picture is, you know, somebody's dead and, you know, a minor child and a grown man who has, you know, been arrested for beating up a woman and assaulting a police officer. But you know what? I think the thing that really gets on my nerves the most is all this stuff about the new slur, the creepy ass cracker. People saying, oh, is that not a racial slur? I'm like, oh my gosh, just stop. There is just, oh, I just can't even handle it. Some of the people on Twitter, I keep reading it.
I can feel Buck on the other end of the line here with this grenade I just threw in the middle of the podcast.
I know.
Y'all are so CNN and I'm so Fox News. This is just not going to go well.
It's not.
No, I'm actually not Fox News. And I don't think y'all are really CNN. I hate them all.
I watch Fox and Friends every morning, but that is the only time I watch the news because it's owned. All of the news and everything that they're feeding us is owned by three corporations who is, you know, the government dictates what they can say. And it's just Twitter is the only thing that's free. So I do not get my news from anywhere but my sources on Twitter.
Well, and podcasting is free, too. So if you want to know what's going on, tune into to TRC Unleashed.
Especially whenever I'm a guest.
So while we're talking about current events, let's go ahead and talk about this Aaron Hernandez thing. Let me just say. And I know this is not exactly a hot take, but how stupid can you possibly be to have the life that that guy has carved out for himself and be apparently a cold-blooded killer?
Well, let's hasten to say that everyone is innocent until they're proven guilty.
We know he's guilty.
Clothed, as they say in South Carolina, in a robe of righteousness, unless and until a jury removes that robe from them. So, with that having been said, you have to remember these guys, they really, really, really love their own hype.
Right.
And part of loving your own hype is you end up thinking, you know, the rules don't apply to you. You're well, God walking among men.
Urban Meyer, you know, he was just all those players. There were, what, like 30 arrests while he was at Florida? And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, they would just get like a one-game suspension or something. And so
Urban was and is the worst when it comes
so
to that.
So he sort of like fostered that behavior being acceptable. And then you get all this money and you're definitely invincible. And if anything happens, you can buy your way out of it. But nobody's going to mess with me because, you know, I'm a big football player.
Right, right.
Well, he had sleeve tats too. So anybody with sleeve tats, you got to watch out for him.
I saw that people are speculating he was a member of the Bloods because he had blood tattooed on his hand. I don't know if I didn't really look into it, but do they really tattoo that in such a conspicuous place?
I don't know.
Come on, guys. I figure you would know about this.
T-Bone's a Crip, so I don't really know what to do.
I can't talk about this subject. I've been forbidden.
So, Brandy, you had an interesting question that you gave to us today. You know, Aaron Hernandez, I don't know. I guess it's surprising any time an NFL player is charged with murder. But it's a little surprising. And you said, you know, who on Twitter, you know, that you follow or follow you, who would be most likely to be a killer, you know, secretly? And I don't know, Brandy, you've obviously thought about this. Who would you throw out there as somebody we might have to watch out for?
Don't say T-Bone, Don't say T-Bone.
Well, of the Twitter people, definitely T-Bone. But also, I think that does Matt Carley from the Meat Locker blog listen? I think he'd kill
I think
something.
He does. You think he might?
He gets turnt.
He does. I tell you what, he fires off at the celebrities. You ever you see him? He does. It's kind of funny.
Yep, so him. Definitely him on Twitter.
Yeah, he did that to, I think it was Darnell Dockett, who Darnell Dockett's not somebody you mess with based on his history either. And
I didn't know who Darnell Dockett was, but
he was a defensive lineman for Arizona for, I'm not sure who he's with now, but he had gotten in some confrontations with some people and he tweeted something like, hey, that dude from New Orleans got arrested. Does anybody know why? And Matt was like, do you watch the news, dipshit?
Yeah.
You know.
Censor.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. T-Bone, who do you think?
I don't think there's a real question here. It's a theory I've been working on that Layla McM is really like a 40-year-old man with a basement full of bones.
Do you think so?
I'm not crossing her. You can cross her if you want to.
I'm trying to think of how I'm going to dramatically emoji interpret that description.
Basement full of bones.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's had that same picture up the whole time. You know, that could be just a generic, you know, wedding photo, you know,
that's
post-wedding photo or something.
That's a catfish photo all the way, man.
You think she's catfishing us?
Oh, yeah, she's catfishing big
or
time.
Or he's catfishing us.
He.
And now we've had he, him, you know, write an article on our blog. What, you know, what's next?
It scares me. It scares me to think.
Layla, we love you. This is, I don't know where they're coming from with this. This is outrageous. There's only one person that came to mind for me, and it's Cloninger.
Oh.
I mean, look at his avatar, and you just the way he.
What, those handsome good looks, those rugged features?
He's kind of got one eyebrow up, you know,
yeah.
As he's looking down into the camera, and his he's just so emotional, just this he's emotional like, roller coaster. There's no professionalism. I mean, he tweets under a Gamecock Central name. And he just when he talks about the Braves or the 49ers or anything like that, he just, you know, completely loses.
He's all like
everything.
Hey, he's got his eyebrow raised. And he's like, "Hey, girl, I'm inappropriately turned about this sports game contest."
Did you just say I'm inappropriately turned?
Yeah, man. He's Cloninger-ing.
I love it.
Oh man,
I'm inappropriately turned.
So let's actually talk about Gamecock sports a little bit. Connor Shaw jumped out of a plane either this last week or last weekend. And Yahoo Sports has already tried to make a big deal out of it.
They have?
Yeah, Yahoo Sports is like, well, do you really want your starting quarterback who's had a foot injury jumping out of an airplane, you know, right before his senior season? And G.A. Mangus came out and said, look, if he plays well into January, I'll tandem jump with him after the season's over. So, yeah. T-Bone, big deal or not?
You know, when I first read it, I thought, oh, geez, this is going to be an old ball coach thing for the next 6 months. It's going to be like Garcia in the flip-flops, you know.
Right.
We're going to hear it again and again. But with the way G.A. addressed it, I thought, you know, I guess they're just cooler than me.
Right.
You know, I would be freaked out by it.
Would you really?
Yeah, I ain't getting anywhere close to that.
Me neither.
Really, B? With that bothers you too?
Is it jumping out of a plane?
Well, with a parachute. I mean,
Child,
you know,
please.
Let me ask you this. By the way, I don't. He can jump out of a plane. He can rappel down a mountain. He can, you know, put on a wingsuit and fly off of K2. I got no problem with it because we got a backup. If we didn't have a backup, I might have more of a problem with it. But we got Dylan Thompson, right? So, you know, B, we've never addressed this directly with you. We've always just thought about it on Twitter. Have you kind of come around on Connor Shaw a little bit?
I was going to say, we're like BFFs a little bit now. We Facebook message sometimes.
All right. So you have no problem with him being QB1?
Well, I am afraid to disclose a little too much information, like about my – how I feel about the quarterbacks. But after some things that Dylan has tweeted, particularly concerning big stories about athletes doing really bold things and announcing
we hear you. We know what you're talking about. Right.
Jason Collins.
Hashtag, oh me. once you communicate with somebody like one-on-one, it sort of changes things, but
somebody's got a crush.
I don't have a crush, but
I hear you.
So, and I would be so inappropriately turnt during some of the games last year, and then JC would just be like, well, you know, just telling me all these stats about Connor's passing. I'd be like, he never throws the ball. Look at him. Well, his passing statistics are blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, shut up. I guess he's not like that bad. It's just, and it has, I guess from the outside, it would seem like I wouldn't like him just because of Steven Garcia, which it really had nothing to do with that. It's just, I think one person maybe, I needed a punching bag.
No, I completely hear you there.
Do you?
That's my whole way of being a fan. I got one guy I love and one guy I hate, and it changes week to week.
Right.
But I'll tell you, the thing, sometimes it does. I was on a Kevin House thing for, which you don't know who Kevin House is, but I was on a Kevin House thing for years.
You talked about Kevin House for like 10 years.
He used to
after.
Just drive me insane.
Yeah.
Google's Kevin House.
Right. We're going to get to that in a minute.
But the thing is your issue, if I can put my finger on your issue, is that you're into the personalities of these guys. There is only one way to measure it. That's wins and losses. Wins and losses. Don't get to know them. Don't get to care about
them. Stop following everybody.
Yeah, wins and losses.
But see, they're soldiers, and I I'm a woman. I'm emotional, so.
I know.
And also, like, if I give somebody a nickname or call somebody a certain name, but I do it regularly and it sort of sticks, even if it's not a good name and even if I don't particularly like the person, it's still kind of a term of endearment. And if I develop a character for somebody, like,
so when you put the baby head emoji for Connor Shaw,
yes,
it's a term of endearment.
Character or
it does
emoji.
Look like him. It looks like him.
It does. And the, you know, the Cabbage Patch doll and stuff. So even if I am hating on him a little bit, it's still, at least I'm giving him the character, you know,
right?
Whatever
right.
that means.
Yeah, we understand.
But yeah, I'm coming around. He's a good guy. And I have screenshot a couple of his photos that he's posted on Facebook. And today I said, you know, I don't want to violate our friendship, our Facebook friendship here, but I just would like some explicit permission to repost some of your photos. And he said, go right ahead. I don't mind at all. Aww.
That's cool.
Listen.
He's a good guy.
Get him on the podcast for us.
I'm trying to get his mom to do the Q&A. These players, I'm telling you, have been issues with that, but that's another story. But podcast will definitely be next.
Well, I'm sure the coaches have drilled in them, don't talk to anybody ever unless you absolutely have to.
Let's set him up.
Yeah. Right. So Dylan Thompson will be QB1 in no time. Okay, now let's talk about a topic that the Halfcock Show, they were talking about the other day. Last week, I made a reference on Twitter to the 99 Gamecock football team, which went 0-11, and it kind of escalated into this historical conversation on the last Halfcock podcast. And Connor and George talked about their, you know, their first game memories, and it struck me, and they even talked about it, that, you know, they only really go back to roughly the mid-90s. And I think George even said he really didn't start paying attention to Gamecock football until around 2003. And then a little bit later, Connor tweeted something about Todd Ellis's touchdown to interception ratio, which was like 47-73, something ridiculous that T-Bone and I knew that he was just a complete interception machine. And I thought, man, probably, and I think we've got a lot of listeners in and readers in that age range, and Brandy being one of those, where they really didn't experience the 80s and 90s. And it made me start thinking about, when did I really start paying attention to this? When I know when I became a Gamecock fan. I know the moment. I know the night.
You're about to shock the world
when
right
it all
here,
happened. I'm gonna hold off a minute. I'm gonna go ahead and go to Brandy first. And let you tell us, you know, what was your first game, you know, or what was that moment that you knew you were in it for good?
That's such a hard question. And even if I had been thinking about it this whole time, I still wouldn't have a good answer. But I didn't grow up a fan, so I went to some games in college, but it took the past few years, probably 2000. I'd say around when Spurrier got here, truthfully. I started dating a boy who went to all the games and was a big fan, and my family was going a lot by that time because they didn't go until after I graduated. And so
this is surprising to me.
Isn't it? But
I would have thought you had some kind of family history, and when
none.
There's pictures of you when you were like 2 years old in a little Gamecock cheerleader outfit or something like
none
that.
None at all. My stepdad liked the Gamecocks, but it wasn't. I mean, I didn't grow up watching football. I just, whenever I was accepted to Carolina, my dad's like, oh, thank goodness you didn't go to Clemson.
So mid 2000s for you as well. So you didn't really get the Todd Ellis, the Steve Tannehill, the Scott Windsor experience.
The Phil Petty, the Ryan Brewer.
And Dad was telling me recently that I should not mention that I really don't know anything about Steve Tannehill if I want to have any credibility whatsoever with anyone.
So, T-Bone, I'm going to let you – I'm going to warn our listeners, we're about to go down a rabbit hole here.
I'm about to sit back and relax.
And it just sit back and enjoy the ride, because this is going to be totally stream of consciousness. So
the year was 1981.
Year I was born. It's 25 years ago.
Wow.
It's also the year that Clemson won the national championship.
It is. I was a Cub Scout. And the Cub Scouts were given free tickets to go to Death Valley and watch Clemson play Wake Forest. And I remember getting there, and we were sitting just in the intense heat of that day. And Wake Forest, I don't know, something about them kind of appealed to me. They had this cool mascot, the Demon Deacon, and I thought he was pretty cool. And Clemson proceeded to score 82 points.
Oh, my God. Were you at that game?
I was at the game.
I was at that game.
Really?
I was at that game.
I was the Cub Scout with all the ladies just hanging off me. The 11-year-old Cub Scout.
Holy cow.
So this was what date again ish?
1981.
But like when ish?
Would have been like October, wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah, I think it was late September, early October.
I'm about to find out. What if it was on my birthday, y'all? I'm about to
find
out.
That would be something. But during the course of that day, I came to hate everything orange. I had been vaguely aware of George Rogers the year before, had watched the Gator Bowl, watched George Rogers fumble his very first carry in the Gator Bowl. And I liked George because he was always smiling. But then my fandom, it arose that day in the Wake Forest contest.
No, wait a minute. The Wake Forest was the 80-point game.
Yep.
No, I was not at that game.
You were not at that game?
No. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
82
no,
to 20-something.
No, but I remember that game vividly, but that's going to lead into my story in a minute. So
the next week they played North Carolina on national television up in Chapel Hill and won like 10-6 or
10
something.
10-8.
Was it 10-8? And I was just decimated. I like laid in bed. I was so furious.
So you went to the game and you watched them score 80 some odd points.
And hated them for it. Yep.
Really?
Yep. That should tell you everything you need to know about my personality right there.
All right. Keep going. Is that it?
Well, I figured I'd stop. I didn't want to, you know.
Well, because
I really want to get to the point where it became a thing for me, because I always hated Clemson from that point forward. It was not until I was attending USC. My first year at USC, I didn't really go to any of the games. Yeah. But my second year, I went and saw South Carolina play Tennessee on Halloween, and they were filming a movie.
I wrote about that game on the blog one time.
And there was something about that day. That was when it became all-consuming for me.
Yeah. I remember that game vividly. You and I were together. We weren't friends. We didn't really know each other, but we were, because of the G-Man, we were hanging out in the same group. You were kind of quiet,
phrase,
from what I remember.
The phrase, who is that douche? that hadn't really come into common parlance yet.
Right.
But I remember looking at you and thinking, who is that?
Who is that loudmouth douche?
Will he ever shut up?
So let me tell you my story.
Hashtag who dat douche. Connor's telling me currently, status update, Connor's telling me don't tweet during the podcast. Stop tweeting during the podcast.
Tell Connor to worry about his podcast, all right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he needs to worry about ours. He needs to keep his eyes on the prize.
That's right.
So here's my story. The first college football team I ever remember pulling for, and this was 1976.
Wow.
And it was the Pitt Panthers.
Yeah, they were big then.
And they had these mustard yellow helmets, and they had Pitt in cursive blue on the side, and their face masks were the same.
Was that pre-Marino?
It was pre-Marino.
Pre-Marino.
It was Matt Cavanaugh was the quarterback. Tony Dorsett was a tailback.
Oh, yeah.
So this is – I'm 7 years old, and, you know, for you folks, when I was 7 years old, there were three channels, and only one of them showed college football. So they showed the best teams in the country every week. That's basically all you got to see, you know. So, and Pitt was always up there. Pitt, Penn State, and I just knew nothing about the culture of Southern football until later in life. So, you know, fast forward a few years, my brother, who is 10 years older than me, was dating a young lady that went to high school with him. And when she graduated, she went to college. And
where did she go to college?
What I'm about to tell you guys is going to shake TRC to its foundation. And, you know, T-Bone knows this. G-Man knows this. They've forgiven me. And we've moved on. And I hope all the listeners and readers can do this as well. She went to Clemson. So I was enamored with this, my brother's girlfriend, and they brought me up one weekend. I was thinking it was the Wake Forest weekend, but it wasn't, now that I'm looking at the schedule, because it was the weekend that they won the ACC championship against Maryland. Yeah. So I'm up there on this beautiful fall day. You know, the leaves are all kind of colors. The sky is blue. Death Valley is packed. And, you know, I just think that this is going to be my sister-in-law someday. And they're big. Everybody's a big Clemson fan. I became a Clemson fan that day.
Oh, no.
That's incredible. I've heard this story before, and it still hurts.
I can't believe you tell it.
I know. I've debated, you know, if I would ever tell this story through TRC, but I just feel like it's cathartic. I got to get it out there. I got to get this weight off my chest. Well,
the first step towards recovery is recognizing you have a problem.
Right. So I pulled for Clemson all the way through, you know, national championship. And then in 1984, the first South Carolina game I ever attended was against Florida State, which was another nationally televised game.
That was a
huge game.
Second half kickoff, ran back for a touchdown.
Our neighbors, who were big South Carolina fans, invited me, and I reluctantly agreed to go. And they, you know, just razzed me the whole time about how much better South Carolina was than Clemson, and you know, the stadium atmosphere and this and that and the other. And I was impressed. I have to admit I was impressed. But I was still a Clemson fan when I left there that day. And 1987, when I decided I didn't want to work on tractors or be a soybean engineer or, you know, make ceramic toilets for the rest of my life, I chose to attend the University of South Carolina. So, you know, it wasn't a difficult decision. They had the major I wanted.
Was 86 or 87 a tie game?
86 was a tie.
86 was
and
a tie.
I was at that game in Death Valley, tie game. And I think South Carolina either missed a field goal or had a field goal blocked at the wire there.
Yeah.
So, and my roommate, T-Bone, who you know, friend of mine, was also a Clemson fan. And we go to South Carolina together. We're roommates. We say, you know what? We're going to pull for South Carolina and we're going to pull for Clemson both. It was the dumbest thing it lasted about, you know, about halfway through the season. I was like, you know what, I'm a Gamecock, you know. But it didn't really fully hit me until 1987, you know, until recent years. It was the biggest South Carolina Clemson game of all time. It was a night game. It was ESPN. They were highly ranked, we were highly ranked, and we beat them 20-7. And that place was crazy. I think I've told the story on the podcast when there's one play where Todd Ellis hits Ryan Bethea on a short pass, and he breaks it all the way down inside the five. And I thought the stadium was going to cave in. And G-Man slipped and fell, and he's like lying in between the bleachers. And he's like cheering, and he's looking at me. I look down at him. He's going, "Did he score? Did he score?" And I said, "No, he's inside the five-yard line." And then we scored on a Harold Green run the next play, and I've hated Clemson ever since. So there it is. It doesn't matter how you get there, people, but I got there eventually.
I mean, you can say that now, but I'll remember how you got there.
Yeah. So
life's a journey, not a destination.
It is. You know. So and nobody makes fun of Clemson more than me.
I dispute that. I think I may actually do it more than you.
Well. All right, well, we could argue about that all day, but people are already bored enough with the story that I just told. So
I love that story, though.
So, you know, the Todd
Next
Ellis...
time you see G-Man, just say, "Did he score?"
Right.
I'm good.
So,
do
Brandy,
it.
Do you know the story behind Todd Ellis's commitment to the University of South Carolina?
Oh.
No, but...
Have you heard anyone say, "Are the lights on at the stadium?"
No.
So Todd was the number one ranked quarterback in the country coming out of high school in North Carolina. And we brought him down for his official visit, took him to the stadium. And Bob Fulton was the play-by-play guy there at the time. And they took Todd into the press box. And Bob Fulton had pre-recorded audio of Todd Ellis leading South Carolina on a game-winning drive against Nebraska. And apparently it really impacted Todd Ellis, because they said at the end of it, he stood up, he high-fived everybody in the press box, and he committed to the University of South Carolina. So that's the story the way you remember it, right, T-Bone?
That's right. And to this day, you will occasionally get on the interwebs someone saying, "Big recruit this weekend, are the lights on in the stadium?"
Right. So Todd came. I mean, Todd was a big deal. Todd was a big deal when he came to South Carolina.
Big and deal. He could sling that rock, man.
He could.
I mean, he could.
He just – and he was in – he ran the old Mouse Davis run and shoot, and he just didn't – he threw for a lot of yards. but he threw a lot of interceptions.
What's the character's name in Bull Durham, the pitcher, Tim Robbins' character?
Nuke LaLoosh.
Nuke LaLoosh, that was what he was.
Yeah. And he killed...
But, I mean, at least he had completions.
He
you
did.
Know, that's better than...
But he never had...
Brandy can't let go of it.
The poor guy.
I don't want to hate him, but it keeps pulling me back in.
He never had that signature 2-minute drive at the end of a game. He always threw an interception. Always threw an interception.
Oh,
whenever
sad.
We had a chance to win the game.
And the year they were cooking his senior year, just absolutely cooking. 5-1, I think.
Yeah. And he tore his knee up.
Tore his knee up and was done.
Yeah, so...
I didn't know that. I really don't know anything about Todd Ellis. And no, I'm not kidding you, but I don't know anything about him.
So Ellis was...
Well, I know one thing about him.
That's
scandalous.
Oh, well, we don't need to get into that. But
no.
He was a starting quarterback in 86. We were 3-6-1. Starting quarterback in 87, we were 8-4, which until the last 3 years, I'd argued that that was the best South Carolina team ever because we lost 3 games to really, really good teams by very small margins and then got blown out by LSU in the bowl game. But that was a good team. 88, we were – what were we? Were we 6-0 when we went to Georgia Tech and everybody got drunk and were hungover and Georgia Tech beat us 31-0 or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all downhill from there. That was the same season Florida State beat us 59-0.
Yep.
And then 89 was the year he injured his knee and we were 5-1. We needed one more win to become bowl eligible. And the combination of Dickie DeMacy and Pat Turner at quarterback could not get us another win. And we lost to Clemson. 45-0 that year.
And this is something that for our younger listeners out there and for Brandy's benefit, the years that we dreamed of being bowl eligible, I mean, just year after year, do you think we can get to 6 this year? You know, it's amazing how far we've come compared to those days.
Right. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is on my little YouTube app on my phone today, one of the suggested videos was the 2003 South Carolina Clemson game. And you know what game that was, don't you?
Was that the push-off?
No. It was 63-17.
We don't speak of that anymore.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. You know what I did?
Do you know what I did
on YouTube? I watched some of that game. I watched a lot of different
games.
You know what? It didn't hurt. It didn't hurt a bit. And you know why it didn't hurt? 2 reasons. Number 1, we've won 4 in a row.
Right.
Number 2, they got beat by West Virginia 70-33. Have you heard anybody say 63-17 in the last 3 or 4 years?
It's a good point.
It just doesn't hurt anymore.
I'm telling you, man, I drove from Greenville to Columbia with a Ford Windstar full of Clemson fans and had to sit through that whole game to drive their sorry rear ends back. That game really scarred me.
Yeah, yeah.
But so 4 in a row does help.
4 in a row helps a lot. Anyway, there are just so many stories between about 1987 and to date that we could tell for you younger generation. Steve Tannehill, Steve Tannehill still might be the best quarterback that ever played at South Carolina.
Steve Tannehill,
tell me what I need to know about Steve, because like I said earlier, I don't know much about him. So tell me, like, give me the Steve Tannehill.
Steve Tannehill was a pretty high profile recruit, not a Todd Ellis, but he was a pretty high profile from Pennsylvania. And he came down here. I don't really know the story of his commitment or why he came, but we were 0-5.
0-5.
His freshman year.
And this was during when we had 11 game regular seasons, not 12 game.
0-5. And there was a player revolt that year. Sparky Woods was the coach. It was just ugly. It was the kind of year where you're thinking, maybe we should just stop doing this.
Yeah,
maybe,
don't
maybe
gloss.
Sports is not our thing.
Let's not gloss over that either. We were 0-5, and the team took a vote to have Sparky Woods removed as the head coach at the University of South Carolina.
Voted, and I actually know a couple guys that were on that team. They voted to fire him.
Right. And yeah. The athletic director, was King Dixon the athletic director at the time?
He said,
no dice. You're not telling us what to do.
So Tannehill starts the next week. Was that Mississippi State?
I think it was.
Yeah. And slinging the ball around the ballpark, we won. And then he rattles off three more wins. And we're sitting at 4-5, and we or maybe four more wins. But anyway, we lost to Florida, was the only loss he had.
That was the only other loss, yeah.
And then beat Clemson, a game in Death Valley in the drizzling rain that I was at.
Right.
When he signed to Tiger Paw. And became a legend.
And then the next year, 93, was the year that he led that two-minute drill, that drive at Georgia. And that's the Brandon Bennett over the top. We were at that game in Athens, and we thought we had one of the best teams in the country, and the next week we went to Arkansas and got beat by a very mediocre Arkansas team.
Yep.
So the other thing I wanted to touch on, and I put this on Instagram earlier today, I found the media guide from 94 with Brad Scott on the cover. And for you folks that know nothing but hatred for Brad Scott, that you know, and it's just, I think it's hatred that's just being transferred from generation to generation. Everybody will think Brad Scott has always been hated. When we hired him, he was absolutely the savior of University of South Carolina football.
It's powerful stuff.
I mean, do you remember?
Powerful stuff.
Here was the offensive coordinator at Florida State coming
to
take over.
Just won a national title.
And he's the first guy that in this now long string of coaches that said, we're going to change the culture here at South Carolina. It was all about changing the culture. He changed the way we practiced. He changed the way we worked out. He changed the way we dieted. He changed the way we broke the huddle. That's what he preached. He was bringing the Florida State way to South Carolina. And for his first year, we go out and win our first bowl game ever. Now, if you stopped history right there, that man would have a statue out in front of Williams-Brice Stadium. But it was all downhill from that.
All downhill three more years. The final year, we played Ball State in the opening game.
Yeah.
And we beat Ball State. But as we're walking out of the stadium, G-Man looks at me and says, that's the only game we'll win. And he was right.
So, and the problem with Brad Scott was, you know, you tweak things from season to season. He was completely changing the offense and defense every offseason, you know. And Brandy is now tweeting. We've bored her to death. She's slamming on Twitter here.
I think this needs to be like something that y'all do in all of your podcasts. Like, tell some kind of cool story, because obviously you have a lot of years of memories because you're old. So,
why? Thank you. Was that a compliment?
You can remember things. That's definitely a compliment.
The funny thing is, and I'm going to say this with all due deference to Buck. The man that really remembers this stuff is G-Man.
Mm-hmm. He does.
He can tell you play by play from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Totally make it a podcast like feature where y'all tell stories.
Do you want me to tell you
a story, like reminisce, flashback?
I went to 63-17, and there was actually a game that I left that I was more depressed.
Oh, that Florida game?
No.
Ugh.
The Citadel.
Yeah, well.
When we lost to the Citadel, I don't know that I've ever. I thought I was giving up sports after that game.
When was that?
That was a Sparky Woods year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
93.
Yeah,
94. Maybe. Tannehill couldn't have lost to the Citadel, did he?
No, it wasn't Tannehill.
We'll have to look that one up.
G-Man is listening to the podcast in a time shifted mode right now, going, "What is wrong with you guys?
Y'all are so stupid! God."
Well, that's
so,
what he gets.
Anyway, we it's kind of fun taking a walk down memory lane, because I think it gives us some perspective on where we are today. And I tell my nephews, you know, I've got two nephews that are in their early 20s, and they're probably listening as well. You just don't know how good you have it, you know. And I'm sure there are people that are, you know, 20 years older than me and T-Bone that are saying, yeah, but you didn't live through the 60s and 70s. Let me tell you about the 60s and 70s. So, you know.
We do have it so good, and plus we have such good characters on the team and then coaching, you know,
yeah.
Sean Elliott, who is always just so turnt. I love still photographs of him. Obviously, Coach Spurrier. Like,
is anybody else thinking that Sean Elliott is just, I mean, is he laying it out there saying, I want to be the next head coach?
I think that's, I don't know if he's laying it out there, but that's pretty much what I'm told is the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
He's definitely laying Black Magic Weekend out there.
Yep.
And that the photo of Kelsey Quarles with the glowing eyes and the like bleeding Black Magic, is that supposed to be appealing? Are you supposed to want to come to something like that? Because
if you're 17, it is.
Yeah.
Wait, who put that out? Did Gamecocks Online put that out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the athletic department doing that. They're branding it like Georgia has Dog Night and Auburn has Big Cat Weekend. We've needed something like this for a long time, and I think they're hoping to get a few commitments during this, you know, during this weekend.
Now that I know that Gamecocks Online put that out, I've got to say something.
Go get them.
Not necessarily to y'all, but that I was like, okay, this doesn't even look like something Trey would do. Gamecock born and bred Trey would do. Like, this is horrible. And he makes some stuff that's out there, you know, the clowny Terminator type stuff that I can't really be down with. But I was like, this is just some bozo that Jorge Stevens is going to end up making fun of with an even worse Photoshop, you know?
Right.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Note to self.
So, anyway, kind of back to the... you know, the historical stuff. I'm very happy for Brandy and for Connor Tapp and for George Stevens and you guys that you're living through a great era of Gamecock football. But tell your kids and grandkids about us and about our sacrifices.
Yeah.
We will. Hashtag never forget.
By the way, speaking of Connor Tapp, saying his last name, did you know he's he said this on the last podcast. He's a Tapp from the Tapps family department stores.
I thought that was just his thing, his Twitter header. I didn't know it was like because of for real.
Well, unless he was just totally yanking our chain on the last podcast, he said something about Tapps and, you know, because that was my family's, you know, my family's business and, or department store or something. You're familiar with that, aren't you, Tebow?
I am like the building.
I don't have a clue what y'all are talking about.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, I'm going to have to ask him.
Yeah, if he ever invites you back on his podcast.
No kidding.
Yeah, those guys, I swear.
Real.
All right, what else you got? We're running a little low on time here.
Well, we're running a little low on time. One thing you may not have seen, and this is out, Twitter link. I'll try to tweet it through our feed. But they opened a Sam's Club in Easley, South Carolina. And at the grand opening of the Sam's Club, they had someone named the Cheese Lady carve a 50-foot wide tiger.
No.
Out
Did
of
you take
cheese.
A picture?
50-foot wide cheese tiger.
This is what they were tweeting this earlier. I'll try to retweet it so y'all can get the link. But the interesting thing about the link is it says she named the tiger Clem. Mm-hmm. Which kind of reinforces the bad stereotypes about
right.
the Clemson folks.
Well, look at Clem over there.
Clem cheese.
Man, that's crazy. Well, that should just about do it, I guess.
Wait, y'all. Have you noticed how some of the players, they're doing that ask thing? Like, ask me anything, and then you can go to some link, ask.fm, and...
No,
It'll tweet the question that they were asked, and then part of their answer, unless their answer, you know, exceeds 140 characters. Bryson Allen Williams participated in one last night. Dante Sawyer, who's I guess a Gamecock target, although I don't know if we'll get him, but he participated in one the other night and said something about playing with Bryson and either Terry Guger here at Carolina. He said it would be nasty,
yeah.
And I was like. I got on him about, you know, why has it got to be nasty and kind of the mad emoji face, but it turns out I just don't know the lingo and that's cool, whatever. But anyways, a lot of Bryson's answers last night, it's just really interesting to see some of them participate. Some of them are really annoying, some of the players that participate, but Bryson's, it was very cool. It's kind of like a GABA bag, but
yeah,
obviously not.
But I tell you, two guys, you got to love Bryson Allen Williams, and you got to love Devin Washington.
Yes.
I mean, those two guys have got, whether it's in football or not, they've got bright futures ahead of them. Just by the way that, and, you know, I know it's all on Twitter, so it's hard to, it may be hard sometimes to tell what a person's like on Twitter, but they're engaging. They come across as intelligent, and, you know, they really love being Gamecocks. And not that that'll necessarily get you far in life. I mean, look at T-Bone.
Right.
But I like those guys. I think those are good guys to have in the program.
Well, I don't know all the mamas, but I know two of them, and it's theirs. And that's a big reason. They have
good family.
Good moms. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good.
They are good guys.
Well, now, can we say congratulations to you on your new career that starts, I guess, starts tomorrow morning about 8 a.m., doesn't it?
Sort of. I'm going to go to the Georgia Aquarium and then go to the lake, but, you know, tomorrow's the first day of the rest of my life.
Hey, that sounds like a career right there.
Doesn't it? It's, yeah, a mobile career. So, but yes, thanks. Congratulations to me. I'll be working for the Big Spur.
Yeah, so
we're branching out 24/7 sports, various sites, doing some marketing, some more social media, and
so we'll have you on with recruiting updates and finding out what's going on the inside.
Yeah, so we'll be going to the practices. I'm very excited.
Yeah, awesome.
Doing what I love.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Let's
not wait so long before we do it again.
Well,
and for you folks that sat through this whole thing, and I know somebody did. I think my mom probably sat through the whole thing. The way we like to finish the show is like this. I'm Buck for the rubberchickensblog.com. For Brandy and for T-Bone, we remind you to follow us on Twitter at rubberchickens, R-U-B-R chickens. We'd also like to remind all you Gamecock fans, it has now been 1,674 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
42, just about to go insane. I've been down.